Blog Talk Radio.
Biblical numbers, seven is complete, eight is new beginning, and then you got two for father and son and one for the son. You know, we got three, father, son, Holy Spirit, 21. So I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to be have a complete new beginning in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a day, what a day. I'm thankful to God for his grace and for his mercy, and I thank God in advance, for he knows what I have to do today, but I know that my daddy God is in charge, and he has always given angels to surround me and watch over me, and I am thankful for the angels of mercy and grace and healing. Hallelujah. So thanking God. Thanking each of you for joining me this morning as we move forward through the Word of God and as we give God thanks for his mercy and for his glory. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of Psalms. You know, our Psalms word is coming out of Psalms chapter 80. And the word that God gave me is, we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. We will call upon your name, Father, Jehovah, Yah, Elohim. We call upon your name. And we just call you Dad God. And we ask restoration. We have to ask our Father God for restoration. So many times. We just go through life with a la-di-da moment, la-di-da in our spirit, when we got to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done and do for me, giving God honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. For he is mercy endures forever and all times. Father God, we come to you this morning, grateful, thankful, and blessed to be your daughters and sons. Asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, to guide our footsteps, to show us the way that you want us to go, Lord God. Not our will, but your will. Not our way, but your way. We ask you, Father God, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us all that we need to do what you have called us to do. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I give you all in me, use me, Lord, for your glory. Increase as I decrease. In the name of Christ Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen, amen, amen. Glory for all that he has done and will do in my life. A complete healing is what I ask God for today. Complete healing. But he knows what we go through every day. And he knows our hearts, he knows our minds, and above all, he knows our spirit. So thanking God this morning, thanking you this morning for joining me as we move forward in the Word of God. And I just want to give, I am part of Bible Gateway, and our scriptures that I post are from Bible Gateway. And I like to just say the word for this morning is Psalms 1, the verse for the day is Psalms 138, verse 2. And it just says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Can we say amen this morning? You know, can we give God hallelujah praise this morning? Can we just tell God, thank you. Thank you, God. And again, the word from Psalms 138, I will worship towards your holy temple. And we just know we have just been talking about the building of God's temple in Jerusalem by Solomon. And praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. And our word this morning, we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. We got to ask God in the now and forget to get caught up in Jesus. Lord, I ask you to help me get caught up in you today. Remove all flesh and replace it with your spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Giving glory to the Most High God. So let's get in our word this morning. We are coming out of 2 Chronicles chapters 11 and 12 to verse 16. So chapters 11 and 12 in 2 Chronicles. Our psalm this morning is Psalms 80. It's Psalm 80, verses 14 through 19, which is what our title comes, which is where our title comes from. This Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 and 21, and our New Testament word is Acts chapter 15. So let's get started, family. And I can say it again, what a word, what a word. And I thank God for his word. And it says this, now when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled from the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and returned back from attacking Jeroboam. So Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah, and he built Bethlehem, Ittim, Tekoa, Beth, Zor, Adoram, Leshet, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, Hebron, which are in Judah and Benjamin, fortified cities, and he fortified the stronghold and put captives in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. Also in every city he put shields and spears and made them very strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with him. For the Levites left their common lands and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high places for the demons, idols, which he had made. Oh my. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God and their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took for himself as a wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abijahil, the daughter of Elijah, the son of Jesse, and she bore him children, Jesus, Shemariah, Zaham. After he took Machanai, the granddaughter of Absalom, and she bore him Abijai, Attai, Zizai, Shelomath. Now Rehoboam loved Machanai, the daughter of Absalom, more than all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Machanai, as chief to be leader among his brothers, but he intended to make him king. He dealt wisely and dispersed some of his sons throughout all the territories of Judah and Benjamin. To every fortified city he gave them province in abundance. He also sought many wives for them. Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt, the Lubim and the Shechem and the Ethiopians. And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I have also left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and they said, the Lord is righteous. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdoms of the nations. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back into the guard room. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him to us not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah. The king Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name. There his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are the most written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies. And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah his son reigned in his place. Brother against brother, but not understanding. And God told Solomon, I'm going to divide your kingdom. When we don't do what's right before God, God takes away some stuff. You know, he will mess you up. You might be doing well yesterday, but today you're not doing so well. because God wants to humble you to appreciate your blessings. Been there, done that, got the I've been humble t-shirt. We got to understand that God wants us to be humble and to believe in him and to trust in him that everything will work for our good. I'm trusting God today for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm believing God today for healing, complete and total, quick and in a hurry. I'm believing God today that everything is working out for my good. I'm believing God today that he has my best interest at heart. Hallelujah. We got to believe God today that he has got us in his loving wings, that he has got us covered in the cliff of the rock. We got to believe God today. All things control, and we are his children, following after our Father and what our daddy says to do. And some life lessons from 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12. And again, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And for those that would like to just call in instead of listening on social media, the number is 213-943-3597. Again, that's 213-943-3597. And I am normally on every day from Sunday to Sunday to Friday. Saturdays, we do not blog. But Sunday to Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. There are some times where I may be at 6:30, but you will have a day's notice prior to that happening. But most of the time, I am on 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And what we do is we read the Bible, we talk about the life lessons, and we move forward in the Word of God. The goal of this blog, to read the Bible in a year, from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. So once a year, starting January 1 to December 31, we will read the whole entire Bible. Word for word, genealogy, I may not pronounce all the names correctly, but we are going to read every word. And there are times I come out of King James, but most of the time I am coming out of New King James to make it easier to understand. So if there's any questions, all you have to do is push the 1 on your phone. Or if God gives you a word, just push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Because I believe that this is a Bible study, and if you have a question, push the 1 on your phone, and we will see about getting an answer for you. I believe that God's word is true, that 100% you can stand on it, and that we can touch it and feel it and know that our Father God is with us, and that his word says he's with us wherever we go. I believe that. I believe wherever I am, God is with me, and that he is watching over me, and that he has already dispatched angels to be with me whatever I'm doing. So I thank God for his angels. I thank God for his grace, and I thank God for his mercy. And so when I say life lessons, they are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley. The scripture and then the life lesson is Dr. Stanley's. There are times I also add to it what Dr. Stanley has to say as God gives it to me. And we also will go over some of the extra scriptures that are put in the words that Dr. Stanley gives us. We'll go and read those scriptures so we have everything in context. I'm a firm believer that the word of God should be spoken in context. So many times we're given one or two words and it's out of context. So we try to stay within context of everything that we do so that people are not given wrong information. So that is what we are doing here. And again, I thank God for each of you. And let's continue in the Word of God with some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. You shall not go up a fight against your brethren. You know, they was ready to go. They was going to war. against Israel because it was divided. And Rehoboam believed he should have the whole kingdom. And Jeroboam believed he should have the whole kingdom. So two brothers, and I'm saying brothers, meaning they're all descendants of Israel. And what God said to them is this, you shall not go up or fight against your brothers. Let every man return to his house, but this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. King Rehoboam wanted to reunite the divided kingdom by the sword, but the Shemaiah was sent to prevent him from proceeding. Why? Because God allowed the division of the kingdom to correct Rehoboam's cruelty and greed. Sometimes we will want to fight against the discipline the Lord sends. However, we should accept it. The more quickly we acknowledge God's rebuke, the faster he can set us back on the right track. And honestly, we got to say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. I can say that, and I mean it with my whole heart. I've messed up many a time. And all I can say is, Father, forgive me. Restore what has been taken, what has been lost, what has been done away with through frivolity. I ask God whatever I've lost, because God is the restorer, not me, but God. And as we go to verse 11 and 15, Second Chronicles, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 15, he appointed for himself priests for the high places for the demons and that calf idols which he had made. That's some sick old stuff. Places for demons. You know, folks get demons mixed up with angels. Understand, an angel is not going to hurt you, but a demon will mess you up and have you doing all kind of wrong. There are levels of demons, and those that our fallen angels are the most dangerous. You got to be very, very careful. Very careful. Especially people of God. You must walk in righteousness and be careful, because demons are the ones that they whisper in your ear, make you feel all kind of crazy. Send you down the road to depression, and I'm speaking. Send you into unholy depression. There's depression. And then there's unholy depression, where it takes you down, where you just think about, why do I want to live? I don't, you know, why am I here? Those kind of things. That is not from God. That is from a wicked demon. And you have to be careful. Pray up. Pray up, pray up, pray up. And this is what the word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17. You know, because this is what Dr. Stanley said. This is one of the few places in the Bible where we learn that pagan worship actually honors demons. And we're going to go to the scripture that backs this up, which is why we, as men and women of God, have got to be careful who you go, who you worship with. Because there are folks that will get you all caught up, and the next thing you know, you're worshiping demons and don't even know it. Got to be careful. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm going to start at verse 15. And it says, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and you grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons, not to God. To the little g's, gods, they did not know. The new gods, little g's, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. We all go to verse 19. It says, and when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation. children in whom is no faith. We got to have faith. I don't want God turning against me. I don't want my daddy God not speaking through me. I don't want him not through the Holy Spirit to me. I don't want him being angry with me. And this is what it goes on to say. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoid by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within. For the young men and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs. I would have said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. Had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high. And it is not the Lord who has done all this. We got to understand. A nation divided will not stand. God does not play. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. You got folks sitting in church on Sunday, sitting in Bible studies, planning on how to destroy the country. In Bible study, you had a young man who walked in, sat through Bible study, and then murdered the people busy. And he don't mind sending his demons into the house of God to create confusion. But I tell you this, Emmanuel AME is still standing. The people of God are still having Bible study. And folks are continuing with their life as this young man would spend the rest of his in prison. We better understand there is a devil. And he does not mind messing with children of God. We got to stay prayed up, oiled up, and believe that our daddy God has got us covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. We got to trust in hallelujah. And as we go to Psalms chapter 106, verse 37, but I'm going to go up to verse 34. And it says, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Understand, doing some evil stuff, sacrificing their children to demons. If you got to sacrifice your child, you better understand sacrifice that God ever required was one of faith, and that was of Abraham. To sacrifice Isaac. But did he have to sacrifice Isaac? No. God sent a ram in the bush for him to sacrifice. God was checking his faith, but he would not have had him to sacrifice his child. The only child that's ever been sacrificed for mankind is the Son of God. And that was for a purpose and a reason, for salvation of mankind. Jesus came and took our sins to the cross so that we may have an opportunity for eternal life. But I tell you this, was not of God. It was not of God. It was not a sacrifice to God. They were sacrificing to the evil demons that were in this world and are in the world. We got to be careful, family. Careful of the spirits that are out there. And if something is telling you to do something wrong, you know it is not of God. And this is what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to go up to chapter to verse 4. And it's flee from idolatry. And this is what it says. And it says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The blood which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we thought many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe, Israel, after the flesh are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar. What I'm saying then, that an idol is anything or what is offered to idols, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we partake the Lord, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Are we stronger than he? We got to be very, very careful. Very careful. Because we are to worship God and God alone. We get into chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And it says, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom. And this is verse 1. And had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. If we should grow strong and prosperous, we must beware the temptation to attribute our prosperity to our own ingenuity. And we have people, we hear people even to this day talking about what I did. I did this and I did that. And the eyes have it. No. The eyes don't have it. And the eyes didn't do it. You know, you have so many people that go into that I thing. You know, folks that always want to claim what they did and not give God the glory and God the credit. And so I'm going to go, they have Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 and 18. But I want to start with verse 11 to get it all in context. And we're going to go verse 11 to verse 20. And it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. Fail in them. And when your herds and your flock multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Come on now. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. So you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God And that is a word for this nation. That's a word for America. We better understand and get out of the me thing. You have a whole lot of me this and me that when we need to go into God did it. I didn't do anything. God did it. And this is what it says for verse number 7, 2 Chronicles 12:7. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. And it says, in his grace the Lord granted some deliverance to the disobedient leaders of Israel who humbled themselves, but he still let them taste the serious consequences of their rebellion. And what did they do? Lost everything in the temple that God had given Solomon. The only thing I don't think they took was the Ark of the Covenant, but they took all the gold and the silver and everything that was in there, especially the gold shield of Solomon. They took it from his house, not from the house of God. Forgive me. I was wrong. Sister, so Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Wow. And our word for this morning is coming out of Psalms chapter 80, verses 14 through 19. It says, return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vine vineyard which your right hand has planted and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the a man whom you made strong in yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. And this is what it says. Do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Flattery is often nothing but a ruse to get someone to reveal information that would be better left unsaid. Information that inevitably makes its way into the public square. We got to be careful who we talk to. Then I'm just going to call it like it is, that are low-down, dirty snakes in the grass. And the only reason they want to get close to you is to find out your business so they can go and tell everybody what you doing, what you said, what you this, what you that. And that person, as they say, they need to be the dust under your feet. And I'm sorry, your personal business, you need to keep your circle tight. You know, so many folks go out and put all their business on Facebook. Every little thing, they got it posted on Facebook or on Instagram. I've got to tell you all my business. Better be careful. And then you got all the folks out there liking. As they out there running their mouth about everything you said on Facebook to folks that may not be in your friend circle. Be careful what you posting on Facebook. Be careful what you out there putting on Instagram and Twitter. Because some things, as my mother and my auntie used to say, some things you just got to take to the grave. You don't have to tell everything to everybody. You know, folks get killed. Folks get robbed. Folks get hurt because they posted everything on Facebook. Where are you? Oh, I'm at this. And then the next thing you know, there's a drive-by. Because you done told the person that wants to kill you where you are. because you done posted it on Facebook and it done put your location on it. We got to be careful on social media. Listen to the word of God. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. That's all Facebook is, a big talebearer. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with the lips. I like what you said, girl. And then the next thing you know, that your business is all in the street. We got to stop it. Be careful who you tell your stuff to. And don't put everything on Facebook. I say it again. God put that in my spirit this morning. You ain't got to tell everybody what you're going through and what's going on in your life and where you are and what you're eating and this and that. It's like, come on. I don't need to see a picture of your food. Now tell me about your Jesus. Tell me about your God. I want stuff on my faith page that deals with the Lord. The only thing I normally put on Facebook is the time that we are doing this vlog and that people can listen on social media. That's it. I don't put a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook. I will give a condolence. I will give a birthday greeting. But my business is not going to be on Facebook. I may put some pictures, but it's after the fact. I'm not letting you know I'm out of town. There ain't nobody's business but mine and God. We got to stop putting everything in our business on Facebook. Sometimes you need to fast from that mess because all it does is get in your spirit, especially when you have friends that are negative. Don't let folks get in your ear, sisters and brothers. You know, if folks don't have nothing positive to say, don't respond to that stuff. Because it gets all in your spirit and makes you feel bad. You don't want to be feeling bad. You are women and men of God and highly favored. And yes, we are going through some stuff in our lives. But you ask for prayer. Pray for me. Pray for me. And I say every day, pray for me. But don't be sending no curses my way. Because if you try to send a curse my way, God's going to send it right back at you. And that's what we got to start saying. If you're trying to send a curse at me, God's going to send it right back at you. Lord has put a standard around me. You know, start speaking to them demons. Not today. Keep it moving. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not forever. Because my daddy God is with me. He got my back. He got my front. He got me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. And as Paul says in chapter 15 of Acts, verses 1 through 21, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, that's a bald-faced lie. I'm just calling it what it was. It was a bald-faced lie. So let's keep it going. It says, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversation of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brothers. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported to all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them. Among the Gentiles, they had become silent. James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared our God at the first visit to Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And when this is the word of the prophets agreed, just as it is written, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild his ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity, are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Understand, folks was trying to put extra on people. God didn't say the Gentiles had to be circumcised. That was not. It's a circumcision of the heart, circumcision of the body. You know, folks, you know how it is. Folks want to put extra stuff on people that God did not tell them to do. Well, you know, God told me to tell you to do 15 jumping jacks every day for 30 days. God didn't tell you that. You trying to call yourself trying to get somebody in shape so you make up stuff that God said. God ain't told you to tell them that. We got to ask for discernment. Lord, give me discernment to know when a word is coming from you. Give me the word. Most of the time, when someone speaks a word from God to you, it's a confirmation. It's a confirmation of what he's already spoken to you. That's what normally confirmation of something he's already told you. And you may have been avoiding it. So he sends a prophet to get your attention. Don't let people talk in your ear and tell you stuff that's not of God. And you will know it because it'll make you feel wrong. Like, that don't sound right. You know, you got to start thinking that in your spirit. Lord, give me discernment to know what is from you and what is not. And I pray that for all of us. Lord, give us discernment for what is from you and what is not. Acts 15 and 11, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. A wealthy woman once objected to being saved in the same way as a poor servant. You do not have to be saved at all, came the reply. But if you ever are saved, it will be in the same way as anyone else. You know, I love Dr. Stanley's words, and it is so true. You got folks that don't want to, I don't want to be like them. You know, I don't want to go to that church. You know, I used to be a church snob. I tell the truth and shame the devil. I grew up in a church that had a faith, a doctrine that had been around for over almost 200 years. And to go to, I can't do that non-denominational stuff. Oh, no. Mm-mm. God beat me there and said, who are you? You're not even going to church. But what you talking about, you can't go to this or you can't go there. Then you is where you go. I mean, I wasn't even going to church, but I had my little snobbery and my little nose up about certain church until God humbled me. And when I say he humbled me, he humbled me and changed my life. Changed my life. So don't ever think that we are so above anything and anybody. God will humble you. And he has truly humbled me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, because through the humbling, I have gotten so much closer to God. So I tell you today, don't let anybody tell you where you go to church. You go where God sends you. And it may be a humbling experience for you, but it is to make you stronger in your faith, because it is our faith in God that gets us through. Not our faith in man, not our faith in some title, but our faith in God. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God be the center of your life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. I tell you this. God is in charge. And when we trust in him and have faith in him, everything works out. I'm trusting God today. I'm believing in God today. I know that my daddy's got it going on today and always, because he is that good. So I thank God today for his awesome word. I thank God for each and every one of you. And before we get out of here today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Don't let that situation you experience weigh you down. Wow. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have a triumphant Thursday. Can I tell you, our sister always comes through with a word that just fits everything. Don't let that situation you're experiencing weigh you down. Remember, we can do all things, not some things, but all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have a triumphant Thursday. And I say to you this morning, thank you so very much, everybody that listens in, live or late. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who always has a mighty word from God. And again, the word that God has given me for this morning is, we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Whatever the enemy has taken from you, I pray today that God gives you restoration, that God gives you peace that surpasses all understanding, and that you know you are covered by the wings of the Most High, and that you are loved because you trust in the Lord. That's all I got this morning. I thank you all for listening in. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, and every one of you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I pray the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, that whatever the enemy has taken, restoration is coming. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day, family. And know, we will call upon your name, Father God. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. And I'm going to read Sister Carolyn's word one more time. And then we are out. We are wrapped up. Because that word just touched my heart one more time. For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this last time, hallelujah, for the Holy Spirit. Don't let that situation, your experience, weigh you down. Remember, Put this in your heart. Put this in your mind. Put this in your spirit. Because I'm filled up this morning. We can do all things. Just repeat with me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Say it with me, y'all. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Father God, for the strength. Thank you, Father God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Father God, for your love. In Jesus' name, thanking God again and telling each and every one of you this morning, it's a wrap. It's time to go to work. Love you all. Please join me again on tomorrow as we study the Word of God and as we move forward. No more looking back. We got to move forward, you know, declaring that we are sons and daughters of God. We are sons and daughters. Daughters of the Most High. Thank you so much, family, again. Have a blessed and wonderful. It is a wrap.